Does God desire to heal every single person every single time that we pray for a physical manifestation of healing? That it can be a tricky question, because if we say yes, then why is it some people suffer with diseases and physical ailments? Those are questions that we may not have all the answers to on this earth. But I think that if you are somebody who believes that God heals, or you're wondering if God can heal, I think that this interview is one you are really going to appreciate and glean so much from. And it is going to affect the way that you pray for healing for yourself and others in the future. Here we go.
Welcome to Storming the Gates, a podcast that celebrates the power of prayer. You will be inspired, equipped, and find strength for every battle you face.
Hello, and welcome to Storming the Gates podcast, and I am your host, Joni Scott. And I'm very excited to have a good friend of mine with me today. His name is Jeff Santee. I met him quite a few years ago at a prayer meeting, and he would say to me, hey, don't you enjoy those times with God where you're just alone with God and you just feel his presence? And my answer was like, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to. And so it was very inspiring to me, to just the way he loved God and intimacy with God. And I think I'm doing better at that, Jeff.
Well, so, that's good.
But anyway, why don't you introduce yourself, and then we'll say a prayer before we get started.
Yes. Well, you know that I'm Jeff, and God is real. That's one thing I really know. And I have spent a lot of time in his word, which I encourage everybody to do, because God's word is Jesus Christ. It says it in John 1. And if Jesus Christ is God's word and our only physical contact to him, which is his word right now, other than spiritual contacts, I really encourage to dwell in the word, because the Bible says those who dwell in his word are truly my followers. That's what Jesus says. So that's my introduction about me. I just love the word, and that's where I live. So.
All right. It's a good place to live, dwelling in the secret place.
Yes.
Right. We're going to be talking about healing today and your healing journey. And we're just praying the Holy Spirit directs this talk as he desires. So why don't you join us in praying for that right now? Lord, we pray that you will guide this interview, and that we pray that our ears will be open to what you are saying. What you are saying to us as individuals, what you are saying to your church. Father, I pray that you will minister to whatever need is out there, and that those that hear will be directly influenced by all that is said today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So why don't you start by telling us a little bit of your story?
Okay. Well, my story is too big to give a little, but I'll try to condense it. I'm just going to kind of go back to when I was age 16. I've been a musician my whole life. I was in bands, bar bands, when I started at 14. It's not the best place to be if you're trying to be a Christian. But anyway, I had to play at my sister's wedding. And it was outside in Autrain, Michigan. And my uncle from downstate and my cousin from downstate were going to be, it was just us three. My cousin, who's my age, was going to, she was going to play the flute. My uncle was going to sing a simple song, Color My World. I don't know if you remember it. That dates
me. Yeah,
I do. So anyway, yeah, I had my acoustic guitar ready, and all of a sudden, about 10 minutes before the wedding started, I just got so nervous. There were so many people coming. And I never, I'll be honest with you, when I was playing in the bars, free beer for the band, you know, that artificially relaxed me, but there was no beer for me there. And I told my uncle, I cannot play. I'm too nervous. I'm too nervous to play. It's my sister's wedding. She'll have to get over it someday. And he said, come here. And we jumped in his car and he said, do you mind if I pray with you? I said, anything. I can't play. Didn't know anything that God was real, nothing. He just said a short, short prayer. The peace of God fill you from head to toe. And all of a sudden, this liquid blanket of peace, and it felt like oil, just went slowly down. And I said, what was that? And he said, I'll tell you later. We got to get to the wedding. So anyway, that was Holy Spirit just giving me his supernatural peace. That was my first encounter with God. Wow. And so we went and played. I was not nervous in 0%. I was even looking around at people like, hey, look at me. Look at, I'm really relaxed. It was so opposite. And then when the wedding was over, I said, tell me more. That was physical, tangible. So he led me to Jesus at age 16.
Wow.
And in my small town, there was nobody that I knew in that little town that really knew Jesus like that. I tried to talk to people and they said, I don't know what they said, but they didn't really want to get together. So I backslid after several months, which is not a good place to be. I knew Jesus was real, but I went back in the party scene for many years, played in the band. And then God got a hold of me. I committed my life to him. And since then, the journey has been just amazing. That's all I can say. So, awesome. So I didn't mean to go too far back, but I want people to know where I came from. I came from a heathen life to sensing the supernatural peace of God, knowing he's real, getting born again with my uncle. I wish he would have lived up in the UP here. It would have been a lot easier. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any ways like social media. A long distance phone call was very expensive back then. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I recommitted my life to the Lord in my 30s. I made an oath to God in personal oath at age 30 that I won't drink alcohol, but that was my oath. I'm not saying you guys have to do that. That's my personal conviction. And it's been 32 years and I'm so thankful because I'm drunk on the Holy Spirit all the time. So anyway, started living the Christian life, going to church, and I'd read the Bible once a day. Out of basically obligation, I knew I should read. I'd read in the morning, and that was about it for the Word of God. Maybe hear it on Sunday, and we'd go on Wednesday.
And that was after you made this commitment.
Yeah,
so after you made my commitment, but you were still a little bit like, eh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can pick up on that exactly. So things went on, and we attended Bible studies. Grew in the Lord. We did grow, my wife and I grew in the Lord. And fast forward to having children, had a daughter, Leah. And then we had about three and a half years later, had a son named Nathan. And Nathan and Leah were brought up in the way they should go. When Nathan became 12 years old, he was diagnosed with a disease called POTS, P-O-T-S, postural autonomic tachycardia syndrome, which means when he stood up, the blood vessels didn't constrict and all the blood stayed in his lower legs. So with no blood being, with low blood flowing into his upper extremities, especially his head, he would pass out if he stood up for more than a minute. And it was so devastating. He was in school and the teacher told us that he has a problem with just paying attention. Well, she thought it was an attitude where, when we finally figured out what it was with God's help, of course, we knew it was physical. And, it's hard to not hold a grudge against certain people that don't understand things. And she was just, you know, ripping into Nathan for not paying attention, for the lights bothering him. And all those were symptoms of this horrible disease. But I understand now in my journey that people don't get it. And we're to have compassion on people, not get mad at them. That's what a learning lesson. So Nathan was 12, got diagnosed with this disease. It progressed quickly, very quickly. And the doctors told us that Nathan would never be able to walk normal, because for him to shower, we'd have to get the shower running, get it warm. And then, okay, Nathan, it's ready. Have the door open. He'd jump in that shower for 30 seconds to a minute and grab a towel and then go back in his chair, his recliner, so the blood would go back to his head, just so he wouldn't pass out.
Whoa. Well, I take like 15-minute showers. I can't even imagine.
Oh, can you imagine?
I cannot.
Yeah. So
it's frightening, you know?
Yeah, right. So how he had to live was he had to lay in a recliner, nearly flat, but not quite flat, just enough for he knew that sweet spot where blood was getting into his head. So he had to, he was 12 years old, going into middle school, he had to teach himself school because they didn't, they had online teaching, but it wasn't complete. It was just maybe 20 minutes a day. So he had to teach himself laying in that position. Some of the math was beyond us, as you know, math, some of that modern math is way. So he knew the Lord, and a good thing, because he had a positive attitude in that. He didn't say, poor me, look at all these other kids. Not once did that come out of his mouth. And I give God the credit for that. I think, yeah. I know Holy Spirit just surrounded him and just gave him peace and joy in that time when, you right. know, I don't think I'd have a lot of joy in that time.
Yeah. So you are a believer now. Did that lead you to question, like, what was God doing? Why would God allow this? How was your heart with the Lord at that time?
Well, at the time, I honestly don't remember if I questioned it. My focus was, we're not going to put up with this, because they said that he wouldn't be able to walk. He wouldn't be able to go to school or college. He wouldn't be able to drive a car. He would not be able to hold a full-time job and probably would never get married and would likely have to live at home for the rest of his life. That's what the medical community was telling us. And it just hit me hard. And I had enough faith at the time where I knew we were not going to put up with that. I don't know. I didn't know then what I know now about the Bible and about the Word. But here's where I was at. I knew Jesus's body was sacrificed for us. And he took stripes on the whipping post. I knew it says by his stripes we were healed. Interesting. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah was looking to Jesus this way. Peter was looking to Jesus this way. Isaiah, we are healed. Peter, we were healed.
Interesting.
We were healed on that whipping post by Jesus. He took those stripes. So I knew he took stripes, but I didn't really understand the reality of that amazing truth. And so I knew Jesus from the Word that he was the bread of heaven. And I knew he come to give us life and life more abundantly. And God showed me that life and sickness are opposites. And the life of Christ, life, his life pushes out sickness. I knew that to a limited degree. So, there's several scriptures that I was just digging in to, about this life and about healing. I knew that Jesus was the bread of life. And then it says in the Bible about communion. Listen to this verse in John 6:33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven, that's Jesus, and gives life to the world. The bread, Jesus gives life. I hung on to that. John 6:48, I am the bread of life, Jesus says, life. So I knew life was a big factor in what was going to happen with Nathan. John 6:50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. And Holy Spirit showed me, yes, not die in our spirit, eternal life, of course, but a second meaning that one may eat of it and not die. And I was, because sickness is death. The ultimate sickness, all sickness, the enemy wants, the ultimate goal of sickness is to kill you. No matter what it is, flu, if we didn't intervene, God didn't intervene through medicine or whatever, flu would take you out. Any disease, it's there. He's there, the enemy, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's sickness and disease. God, Christ has come to give us life. There's that life again.
Yeah.
Life and life more abundantly.
Right. And you know, I just want to interject a little something, which is that that's something that the Lord really gave me quite a few years ago when I was kind of wallowing in my past and feeling like, you know, I had to like accept all this discipline from God. And he spoke to me like he kind of like slapped me upside the head in a loving way and said, I came to give you life. And I want you to live that life. So not only does it relate to physical healing, but it relates to our emotional well-being as well. You know,
oh, everything. There's a scripture. I should have wrote the reference. I don't try to memorize the numbers because it was written like a book, and that's just how I am. There's a scripture that says, attend to my word, incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to the word. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Read the word. Hide them in the midst of your heart. Memorize the word, because they are life to all who find them. And health to all your body, all your body. That's the word of God. So anyway, that's why I dwell in the word of God. I mean, divine health. Let's go for it, Joni. Divine health. There's no reason that Christians should be struggling with disease and sickness, because we are out there. We are here to get others set free. And if we're not healthy, how are we going to set them free? You know, that's
absolutely,
that's where I'm at. So anyway, back to Nathan.
Okay.
Knew that Jesus was the bread of heaven, the bread that came down. He said, I'm the bread of life. So what I decided to do was start taking the Lord's Supper with Nathan, communion. And we started that every single evening, early evening, him and I, we would take it. For over 200 days in a row, roughly around 200 days, you know, going on over a half a year, we started seeing some relief, some healing. He was sitting up further. He was sitting up further. He could take a shower. He could take a 3-4 minute shower and not pass out. So I knew, he knew that the bread that was given for us, Jesus Christ, he knew that there's something in this communion. So we then saw this happening. It almost became legalistic, like, let's do it every night. Let's do it every night. So we just did it as Holy Spirit prompted us, which was 3 to 4 times a week still. And we would do it. And then Nathan would pray and he would start thanking God for what's happening in his body.
Cool.
And Holy Spirit just filled. I remember that night when he started thanking God, God's presence just filled the room. And that showed me that a thankful heart is another key in healing.
Good.
A thankful heart. And it comes through this 12, 13-year-old boy. You know?
What's that?
And it came through this 12 or 13-year-old boy at the time. Mm-hmm. His thankful heart that he was getting relief showed both of us that this was another factor. And so we continued to not only take the Lord's Supper, but we would thank the Lord for his healing as if it was done. And it was. By his stripes, he was healed. But I didn't know about that verse, the impact of it yet. So Nathan's senior year, he still was teaching himself, but he decided to go back to high school. And he'd do a class or two, and then, you know, that was it for the day. But we kept on with faith, the Lord's Supper, thanking him. And throughout the senior year, he got to the point where he could almost sit there for the whole day. That was an accelerated healing right there. It even got to the point, Nathan likes football. I know your husband, Charlie, does too.
Yes, indeed. And
yeah, Nathan loved football because he would watch it when he was in his chair and different things. And he asked me, he said, "Dad, I've always wanted to try to kick a field goal, like, you know, even out on a field in a high school lot or anywhere." He said, "Would you come with me and let me try to see if I can kick one?" So just him and I went to a field, nobody else around, and he'd set up his tee. And he'd try, and it never went in. We kept trying. You know, I retrieved the ball as an older guy who didn't have all the energy to run after that ball. But you know what? When he kicked his first field goal, I can't even say, but I got emotional like I am now. And whew. So anyway, I got to shake my head so I can keep talking. So his healing was 75% by then. And so anyway, I wanted to read a few. I read those scriptures. What ended up happening with Nathan? He's 99% healed right now. A healing, from what I understand, is a process. A miracle is instant.
Okay.
I'd see both. I prefer miracles. I know Jesus.
How old is Nathan now? How old is he?
Nathan is 26 years old.
Okay.
He's married. They didn't think he'd ever get married. He's holding a full-time job. Okay. These are all against what the medical community said. He works out every morning at 6 a.m. with weights. That helps him actually feel better too. He drives like they said he wouldn't do. He finished college with a double major, and he actually attended college. While he was going to college, he worked at the library, and it was just like, there you go, devil, take that. Look at Nathan's life. Cool. Look what God has done. So we were so blessed by those 2 years. It took about 2 years. You know, that was 14 years ago and then 12 years ago. And then I got fired up. I knew there was more to this. And I wanted to share with people what God had done.
Yeah. So, and what you learned through that, because I feel like there must have been a lot that you learned walking through that, you know, with your son.
Yeah. Oh, all kinds of things. That communion and the Lord's Supper, there is power in it. There's power in when we take his body and eat it, even though it's, you know, not Jesus who dwells in heaven that we're eating, but it's a command to do so, that when we ingest that, we are actually getting healed. And if we have faith that we are getting healed through taking the Lord's Supper, we are. We will get healed in that way and in many other ways. So that was a big thing. Nathan stayed in his chair, which he had friends on his headphones, but not a lot of them in real life. So he really didn't have an opportunity to get in much trouble. That's a sideline good thing. I would never wish that. Just, right. You know, wish for his what he went through to do that. Mm-hmm. But he saw God when he saw what God did in his own body. That made him a true believer in the Word of God. Right now, he teaches an adult Sunday school at his church in Texas.
Oh.
It's a big church. And he's teaching it because he knows what the Word of God did for him. And he will not start his day without the Word of God. He, you know, he'll make an egg or his eggs, a lot of them. And why is he eating his eggs? He's reading the Word of God, just reading it, just ingesting that.
Wow.
And I'm so blessed when I realize that. And I ask him, so what are you reading now? And it's just so, so encouraging. So what the enemy meant for destruction, God took and turned it around for his glory and a better life than Nathan could have ever imagined right now, what he's experiencing. So I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for that.
Yes, definitely.
I want to say something quickly about communion. Okay. I study Greek almost daily. When I don't understand in King James, wow, does that really mean that? I'll look in the Greek, and it's really helped me because the Greek in the New Testament is really the original writings as close as they can be. You've heard it said in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11, that it says, take and eat. This is body which is broken for you.
Yeah.
I know it says in Isaiah that not a bone in Jesus's body will ever be broken.
Right.
But yet it's said in the New Testament, this is his body. Take and eat. This is body, which is broken for you. And something didn't line up there. So I studied what his body is. This is his body because they were doing that at the Passover supper there. What it clearly says in the Greek, this is his body, and they take the bread, which the bread is broken, so that we all can partake. The bread was broken for us, one body, Jesus is Christ's body, but in little pieces. And the Greek says that clearly.
Oh.
So that really cleared up when Isaiah said that, not a bone in his body will be broken, but yet, you know, people think that his body was broken, but how could it be? The Bible doesn't contradict itself.
Right. Right.
And it doesn't. So it's the bread that's being broken, which to me is so wonderful because Jesus's body was not broken.
And like you pointed out earlier, he said, I am the bread. So
he is. Yeah. Yes. And what a representative to eat. You know, it says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life.
Wow.
Well, I get it now. And it's just little things like that, that God shows us, just, you know, it increases our faith and causes us to want to stay in the Word more. So yeah. I just want to get that side note there.
That's a great side note.
It is.
And so I'd like to take some of these. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say,
these verses that you're giving us, I'm going to make prayer cards with them so that people can download and print them and meditate on them themselves if, you know, maybe they're going through something and they want to be
taken. Please do. And I'll tell you what, I'll make it easy on you. You inspired me. God inspired me through you to compile an outline of scripture verses has taught us to believe that God is going to heal. I will get them to you. So I'm just going to read a few scriptures. There's a lot of power in the Word of God. I use New King James in this. I read a lot of different versions, but it's pretty easy to understand. So how I wanted to be one like the disciples, that where Jesus commands us to pray for the sick, I wanted to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. I wanted to. So I'm going to read a few verses and let's comment together if you want.
Okay.
Mark 16, 17 through 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Shall in the dictionary means inevitable. So that word means we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I read that verse and let's do this. I need more of your word to understand this. So
absolutely. And if we think about that's how the church is born and grows, is people experiencing the power of God. Yes. Like you did at 16, you experienced that power of God.
Right. The power, and there's a scripture that says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Well, mm-hmm. I looked up that because I knew there was words that we have to say to spread the gospel. And what it says originally, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. Mm-hmm. So we can't just preach the gospel. We can't just demonstrate the gospel. We got to do both.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, Jeff, I'm going to throw this yes. at you now.
Yes.
So I feel like one reason we don't pray for the sick is because we're afraid that we'll pray for them and nothing will happen. And maybe that has happened. So that's what holds us
a
back.
Lot of people. Yes.
So what is the answer to that?
That answer is going to come as we continue to fellowship on your video cast here. I have lots of scriptures and I'm prepared. We might have to go into another one in the near future. I will answer that according to what I believe and how Holy Spirit showed me. And I'm not the guy. I don't know it all. Nobody does. And I'm not the guy that's just going to go lay hands on the sick. That's for all of us. But that question you asked, Joni, causes people to not command healing on the sick. So anyway, let me read a couple more verses here. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, not leopards, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is a command from Jesus. It's not a suggestion. He doesn't give suggestions. There's over 1,050 commands in the New Testament. That's a lot for a little part of that Bible.
Right.
So the very first phrase, Matthew 10:8, heal the sick. It doesn't say, if you want to, go heal the sick. They might recover. It says, heal the sick. That sounds like God is telling us to do something.
Okay. So now here again, this is our mentality. And even yes. I fall into this sometimes because I don't know why, doubt, or I say, well, that was for the disciples. Even though I don't say that for other commands Jesus gave, but that one, it's for them. You know, is it for me? I don't know.
Well,
maybe God told me specifically. I heard an audible yes. voice saying, go pray for that right. lady in line at the grocery store. Yeah. You know,
let me ask you this. Do you speak in tongues?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that wasn't that just for then?
I was told, yeah. Believe me, there was warfare before I began using.
Oh, I know. It's just
spiritual language because people were saying, you know, that's done away with. But the Lord's impressed on me many times through many means how important it is to speak and pray in tongues.
Yes, that's a whole other topic you could interview somebody on and just enlighten people because there's so much power in that.
But now, how does it relate to healing and trust?
I believe that the Bible is for today. Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he doesn't change and he commanded man to do these things, why would we have this Bible? It also says spread the gospel. Well, that was for them, we could say. Well, that was for back. We could say everything's for back then, and then there's no sense reading the Bible. It's just a historical book. It's living and active. And because of the results that I see and many people I know see, I know it's for today. There are results. So, you know, you can't argue with them. You know, just Nathan, and then soon you'll hear about me. If that wasn't for today, I'd be dead right now. I wouldn't be talking to you.
Yes. So. Yes. We will definitely have you back to share your story. Tell me, can you tell me a time that maybe you prayed for the sick and they recovered?
Well, let me just say, have you heard of, there's many powerhouse general influencers. Have you heard of John G. Lake?
Yes. I don't know much about him. During COVID, they talked about how a germ died on his hand or something.
Yes.
That's kind of all my knowledge about John G. Lake.
Right. Well, God used him to heal hundreds of thousands of people. Smith Wigglesworth, right? You heard of Smith Wigglesworth?
Yes.
Okay. There's another gentleman back in that. Well, he was actually much younger than them. T.L. Osborne. Have you heard of Dr. T.L. Osborne?
I don't think so.
Okay. T.L. Osborne was the first missionary evangelist to go into open fields and parks in non-Christian nations. So, and there's a lot of non-Christian nations out there that they don't even want. But with faith, I'm saying this for a reason. With faith, he went into these parks, and he was best known for his mass miracle ministry to millions. Millions. The enemy doesn't want that name out there, that out there. That's why I hadn't heard much of him until, you know, a dozen years ago. So he was best known for mass miracle ministry to millions. You can't argue with it. A lot of it was filmed. So he had two things to say, which I gleaned from, and I hope your audience will. One thing he said, never ask God to do something he commanded us to do. Okay. And I'll come back to that. The second is never ask God to do something he has already done.
Okay.
So with those two truths, I know that's not Bible, but that's what he lived by, you know, that rule. And here's an example, and I bet you more will pop into people's heads. First one, never ask God to do something he commanded us to do. He commanded you and I, Joni, shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mm-hmm. He said us to do it. Of course, it's the power of God in us. It's God healing. But we have to be the movement, lay the hands, you know. So he said, you shall lay hands. Shall means inevitable. You got to do it. And they shall recover. And then the second part, never ask God to do something he's already done. Okay. By whose stripes we were healed. We were healed.
Okay.
On the cross.
And that's not just spiritual, that's physical?
Physical. By his stripes, we are healed. Spiritual healing was on the cross. It was on the cross. He took our sins on the cross so we could have eternal life with him. That's our spiritual healing. If we can have faith that we are going to end up in this beautiful heaven and we don't see the results of that, but we still believe that with the little bit of faith a non-believer has to accept Christ, why can't we have faith for another command? You shall lay hands on. To me, it takes more faith to get saved than to see healings for me.
Yeah, it's true.
Did you ever think about that, Joni?
I literally was thinking about that the other day as I'm driving my bus and I'm thinking, salvation is a gigantic, huge, unbelievable miracle.
It really is, but it we have to believe it.
God completely, you know?
Yes, and I don't think that's coincidence that the other day you were thinking about that and we're talking about it right now. Do you see how God works? He confirms his word in all kinds of wonderful, fun ways. So anyway, there's many more scriptures that line up with those two rules. Don't ask God. Now, this is where I'm at. And I am not saying wherever anybody else is at, they have to be here. But I'll just, you ask me. So if God commanded me to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and I have dozens of verses for our next visit that show what Jesus did and what his disciples did, not one of them prayed for the sick. I'm just leaving you with that, because not one of them. And if you can show me where anybody, where Jesus or his disciples prayed for the sick, show me and prove me wrong, but it is not in the Bible. So in James, it talks about calling the elders of the church. Do you know what I mean? And they shall, in the prayer of faith, will heal the sick. I dug that into the Greek, and you'll be pleasantly surprised what that means. That's true, but if I'm at Walmart and there's a lady in pain, hardly walking, am I going to call up, hey, Charlie, come on out here at Walmart. There's a lady, hurry before she gets in her car. Bring the oil. Bring the oil. She needs healing. Am I going to do that, or am I going to do the examples, dozens of examples of what we are commanded to do, or say, hey, ma'am, I see you're struggling a little bit. God is really using me to pray with people. May I pray with you? And I think you need some relief in your legs here. If I would have waited for an elder of the church to get on up there, she would have been gone.
So this is a real story. You prayed for someone.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I live, Joni. As you go.
It's out there and they're thinking, you have a lot of faith. I don't have that. I don't have faith for myself or family member. And I certainly don't have faith to pray with someone at Walmart in the parking lot.
Yeah.
What do you say? Where do they start? What do they do? How do they find what God is saying to them and build up their faith?
Okay, we'll go more into this sometime, but to address your question, for me, we all been given the measure of faith, not a measure. And what that means, we all been given the same faith to start with, like a seed. Okay. Jesus is no respecter of persons. He didn't give you more faith, me less faith. He didn't do that. The measure of faith means the same. It's like a muscle. We have to exercise that faith. And the more we exercise that faith, the more it grows. The more it grows, the more results we see. The more results we see, the more encouraging to our faith. Our faith even grows from that. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where it first started for me. Those who dwell in the word are truly his followers. I strongly recommend digging out verses every day. And here's what really helped me, Joni. There's an app. I know I'm a little too old to use apps, but I do. There's a Bible app. When there's a you could write this down, you know, find a part. When a verse speaks to me powerfully, have you had a verse speak to you like powerfully, like even a short?
Oh, yeah.
I know you have.
Absolutely.
When one speaks to you powerfully, where Holy Spirit, you know, is coming through that verse, if you don't want to write it down, grab a Bible app and that bookmarks it. Bookmark that app. Yes, write it down, whatever you want to do. And then the next time some verse stands out. I have over 300 verses that stand out, that minister to me. I read probably 30 of them, maybe 10, maybe 50 in the morning, the powerful verses. And when I start reading them, I close my eyes, and with God's help, I say the rest of the verse that's hiding it in my heart, like we talked about earlier. So dwell on the verses that minister to you, and then go to your regular chronological reading, or however you do it. Do both, because then you'll get more power verses as you continue reading. But those verses that have ministered to me, when I review them daily, that has built my faith and put me in the presence of God probably more than anything I can think of right now.
That is awesome. Yeah, I like that so much. I do. I read the Bible, you know, and just wait for the Lord to let that verse lift off the page. And then,
yeah, that's a good way to put it. Lift off the page. Great way to put it.
And I feel like that, you know, to me, and I'm just kind of curious what you think. So when I think about healing and when I've prayed for myself or other people, that's, you know, I go to the Word. I think what you're sharing with that is so important. And as the Lord gives me a verse, then I entrust that that's a verse for maybe that person that I'm praying for at that time.
Yeah.
But if I don't get anything, then, you know, maybe I just continue to seek and pray. But once I get something, I hold on to it and I continue to bring it to the Lord and be like, hey, you gave me this, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You tend to move more in prophetic areas than I do. It's for all of us. All the gifts are for all of us because you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, everyone in heavenly places. There's so much we could talk about, Joni.
There really is. I just thought that's a big part. When you bring up the Word, I feel like faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word.
Hearing by the Word.
It gives us that Word.
Yes.
That is
power verses.
Going.
Daily power verses. Yes.
I like that. So is there any final thoughts before we close in prayer?
The final thought that I would like to say is God is real. Healing is real. Healing is for all of us to do. It's commanded to all of us to do, not just a few. And God gets the glory and the honor for every healing that takes place, although we get to benefit. I'd like to leave you with that.
That's really good. Will you pray us out?
Father, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you. When you left this earth, you said, I will send my Holy Spirit to you. Thank you for sending him. And Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling in us and showing us things to come, guiding us into all truth, teaching us all things. And I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share with other people your truth. And thank you for blessing Joni with this platform. And I decree that it will grow from a real small seed to the biggest mustard tree that is going to hold lots of birds. If you know what I mean, that's scripture. In Jesus' name, thank you for this time. And let us get into your word. Amen.
Amen. All righty. So if you haven't subscribed to my Substack, be sure you do that because that is where I will be posting prayer cards for you to download and print up and meditate on and even write in some of your own. All right. Well, we'll be back, Jeff, with more because we want to hear more. Your faith all and right. It's contagious. You know, I want that.
Yes. And I praise Jesus Christ. He is the only thing that matters in life. I shouldn't say that. The number one.
Thank you once again for listening to Storming the Gates. Check the show notes for links to items mentioned in today's show. We'll see you here again for the next episode of Storming the Gates, a podcast that celebrates the power of prayer.